Have an introit hymn, we'll remain seated. Hymn number 69, All Creatures of Our God and King. His son to us. Hallelujah. My brothers and I welcome you to the house of the Lord this day in the name of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to the service this day. There are some changes I want to bring to your attention. Brother Sam Jordison and his wife Zoe aren't able to be with us this morning. And Brother Sam got sick, I guess, on Friday and let us know yesterday. And our brother Eric has accepted to fill in for him. And so I'd appreciate your extra prayers on his behalf as he has made preparation for bringing us the morning message. We're going to then have a substitute for the ministry of music. We'll be using hymn number 102. I'll also bring that to your attention when we get to that point. I'd like to share in your hearing scriptures from two different places. You'll recognize there are scriptures about reconciling. And the definition of reconciling, I think you know, is to become in agreement, to become as one as such. For the first chapter, first scripture is from 2 Nephi, chapter 7, verses 41 and 42. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God, not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember, after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. Let's flip back to 2 Corinthians, and I want to read from chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 18. And receiveth all the things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God himself, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We'll stand to sing an opening hymn, 219, I Found the Glorious Gospel, and we'll bring the invocation, 219. Father, what a blessing, Father, it is for us to come together apart from the world for a time to meet with our brothers and sisters in this place of worship. And we've gathered, Father, in the precious name of your only begotten Son, Jesus. We desire, Father, that your Spirit would be poured out upon us in great abundance even this hour. We thank you for that Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Son. And too often, Father, I feel like my life is like the surging of the sea, and I do need to come to be fed and to be strengthened, each of us, have come for that purpose, Father. We do worship you and are so pleased to have that gift given to us so freely. Father, we've gathered this day to hear the spoken word. We had asked that, as my brother Eric has come forth to share on fairly short notice, we'd ask that that Spirit would continue to work with him. Add to the preparation he's made, that we might be fed this day according to your will and plan. Be with each one who's here. Might we be touched, might we be strengthened. We look forward to those blessings you'd have, Father, for we ask all this in the name of your precious Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
I would read this morning from the book of John, chapter 6, starting with the first verse and a few beyond that. John 6, 1 and 5. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were deceased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And the record in the book of Matthew says there was 5,000 men besides women and children. So there was well over 5,000 total. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they had eaten and were satisfied, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Jesus provided physical food. He was able to do it because that young lad had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he gave those loaves and fishes to the work of the Lord. The disciple didn't take them away from him. He gave them. And in so giving, that gift was blessed and fed more than 5,000 people. And with all that was left over, 12 baskets full. All that was accomplished because one young lad gave 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is our opportunity to give towards the work of the Lord. We can give a large amount, or we can give a small amount. Whatever we give cheerfully and willingly. And that which we give monetarily will be used to provide physical bread. We have a blessing box out here. May we keep stocked with foods for those that are less fortunate. We have this building that's paid for. The utilities, the insurance, all that is accomplished as a result of our contributions. And as we contribute and provide this building and the food box, we provide physical food for the people. And hopefully they will see something in us that will cause them to have a desire to come unto Christ, and thereby receive the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. And so as we reach into our pockets this morning, let us remember, with a little bit of fish and loaves, Christ multiplied it and gave people a great blessing. Would the deacons come forward, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the many blessings that you have given us. We thank thee for the blessings of life, and we thank thee for the opportunity to be able to return a portion of those blessings unto you, that your work might be continued in this part of the vineyard. Thank you, God, for all our blessings. Please continue with us and bless those whose responsibility is to use these funds for your work. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
I'd like to briefly begin with Matthew chapter 28. Verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, unto the end of the world. Amen.
I'm going to remain seated, and we'll sing hymn number 102, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, 102.
The story was precious. I'm immediately going to continue with Luke chapter 3, verse, let me see, how did I do that at the time? The remainder of the verses that I used as a preamble for the message that I was delivering on the first occasion that I delivered this message. Again, Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, Abraham is our father. We have kept the commandments of God, and none can inherit the promises but the children of Abraham. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized. And this was, of course, John and not Jesus who was doing the speaking. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you, the publicans being the tax collectors. For it is well known unto you, Theophilus, that after the manner of the Jews, and according to the custom of their law in receiving money into the treasury, that out of the abundance which was received was appointed unto the poor, every man his portion, and after this manner did the publicans also. Wherefore John said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. The tax collectors, or the publicans, were of course human beings, full of a quantity of sins and faults and errors that only God knew the nature of, or the number of. But John told them only one thing, gave them only one thing to do. Exact no more than that which is appointed to you according to the custom and the law. It was a way to start. If they could do one thing to change their own behavior and choices, then it might open a way to change other things about themselves that would take them down the road of repentance and personal change that Christ requires us to walk on, guided by the Holy Spirit. As we make changes in our lives, doing the things that Jesus Christ commands them to do, commands us to do, they come under the guidance of the will of God until God's desires become their desires also. God's first desire and priority is to bring the kingdom of God to pass among men, to make men and women citizens, subjects of the kingdom of God. What is this kingdom? Briefly, I guess at the time I liked Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. I'll continue. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. The kingdom of God is in giving and showing love, mercy, and fairness to your brothers and sisters and neighbors, and doing this in the name of Jesus Christ, for this is the only thing that brings lasting peace among men and removes fears and selfishness from our hearts. God's kingdom is a government and a society where his people are free to obey their own conscience. God's kingdom is a place where his people know the meaning and value of sacrifice and love and are rewarded with abundance and guidance in all things. It is this kingdom you are called to when you commit yourself to walk the road of repentance and are buried under the water with Jesus Christ in baptism. It is this kingdom you are called to when you accept Christ's forgiveness of your sins, when you accept the salvation that he offers, when you take him as the Lord and guide of your life. Do not be discouraged. You will always find things to change and repent of. Do not be discouraged. The struggle against sin and error will last all your life. Sometimes you hear people say, nah, I wanted to flip those paragraphs around. Forgiveness is probably the most difficult and demanding thing we might do for someone who has not done a thing for us. Someone who, in fact, has hurt us. Sometimes you hear people say, why should I do that for them? What did they ever do for me? It is a portion of the Holy Spirit living within a person that enables them to sincerely forgive at all, whether they know about Jesus or not. But those who don't know Jesus may or may not forgive, depending on their mood or their disposition. Those who know Jesus or who want to know Jesus are required to forgive. You can't know about the nature of Jesus Christ without forgiving others. Those who want to know Jesus want to be forgiven themselves, but Jesus makes this conditional upon our willingness to forgive others. Everyone has been hurt by the actions of others. But we can live free from the fear and anger and pain caused by this, by forgiving those who hurt or anger us. And that's where I stopped. And now I'll tell you why that message was the way it was and how it came to be and the circumstances. When I was asked to accompany a mission trip to Africa, had it been only for a week, my thoughts about it might have been different, but it was going to be for a month. And I set a rule for myself before I left. The only thing that's going to make it possible for me to do this is the complete abandonment of all expectations about how I think life should go, about how I'm used to it happening, and what I can expect to happen in response to anything I call normal in life. It was going to be, I think, my first experiment in surrendering to the will of God. As if he were saying to me, you need to give up right now any ideas that you have anything to offer these people or any say whatever in what goes on or any ideas of controlling your environment or even how you, the options you get in reacting to it. Reconciling yourself to the will of God. I made up my mind I wasn't going as a tourist, that it was going to be a working trip. I had no experience with anything like this before. I wasn't going to expect to be able to do touristy things, though it excited my curiosity, as you might imagine. And I like to go about seeing, getting a feel for a place when I visit it. But this was going to be learning about the people and how to interact with the people and how to share the gospel with the people with what little understanding of it I had. I was asked to go, so I go. I was unemployed anyway. That helps. We completed our visit in Rwanda and had been in Kenya a couple, 3 days. Now, I had been warned by Doug, Elder Doug Smith, about how Elder Eric Odita did things. And so it was good that I had made up my mind to abandon all expectations about how things were going to go, because I was, the only expectation I had at that point was that I was going to be handed something at some point that I did not know how to deal with, so just get used to it. I expected that much. And it happened a couple nights later. I don't know what we had done that day. We were at Eric's house, done for the day. I was in my room, opening up the scriptures. I'm ready. He sticks his head in the door. You'll be speaking at Rockwara tomorrow morning. Fine. All right. Good. Let's do this. I don't know what to say to these people. I have nothing to say to these people. Not in a bad sense. What am I going to say to these people? So I started jotting down a train of thought that came to me about something that I ought to say that had been on my own heart, and putting those thoughts into the words that I thought I should deliver. What I read to you was pretty much verbatim what I wrote down that night in the notebook that I wrote it in, as it came to me and as it gelled. Because why not? I don't know how simple that language sounded when I read it. I deliberately constructed it very simply, not because the people are simple or unintelligent or unsophisticated, but because my experience listening to what had been going on in Rwanda up to that point told me that translation can be a problem. And the more simply you can convey what you want to say, the easier the time the translator has. And if the translator feels like they have an easy time, they feel confident. So they can convey the message that you're conveying in something of the same spirit that you're delivering it, because they feel good about what they're saying. So I kept it simple for that purpose. I said my piece. Oh, and this is 30 or 40 people in a, what's that thing made of, Chris? Wattle with a tin roof? Cow dung. Yeah, that's what I thought. Shed. 30, 40 feet long, 15 or so wide. All looking at you from the other end of the room. I said my piece. James Yogo was translating. And sat down. Almost immediately, a woman on the front, near the front corner to my right, stood up. And started talking. Looking at me, gesturing, gesticulating toward them, speaking excitably, but sternly. Looking at me, looking at them, pointing. I thought, oh my. I'm being read the riot act. I'm being dressed down. I'm being exposed as a fraud. Because that's where my thinking will go if I'm left to myself about what I think other people's reactions will be to me. That's my life story. This went on for a good minute or two. I've had my service hijacked. I deserved it. Shouldn't be here doing this, trying to do this anyway. She sat down. I said, James, what was that? And the first thing he did was go. She said, how did he know everything that has been going on among us here? Everything he just said had to do with everything that has been going on among us here. Well, that's good news. Not for me, but for them. Maybe they needed to, well, it's easy to say, well, maybe they needed to hear this. Maybe they heard it in a way that would cause them to listen. And I looked at them and said, I don't know what to say to you. I didn't know. I only brought the message that what I suppose was the Holy Spirit put on my heart and on my mind to organize and bring to you, hoping it would do somebody some good. Because that's all you can ask for. We finished the service. And I went and ate the chicken that had been killed and stewed for my visit. And James and I drove back to Kisumu. That's probably all I have to say about that. And I'll conclude by saying, well, we don't need to say a lot about what we observe and think about what's going on in our country right now. But try abandoning your expectations about what you think ought to happen, or what you've been led to expect to happen by our traditions and our freedoms. And go before the Lord and say, I don't have anything to offer much in the way of changing what's going on, except opening myself to whatever it is contributes to your cause. And if you don't know much about what his cause is, undertake educating yourself, as I had to at that point. I was obligated now. After that experience and everything that's transpired since then, I was obligated from that point onward, and that point helped me see all of the points in my previous life where the Lord had been feeding me this and that to keep me on the path, despite my insisting to wander off of it. There's not just a physical danger, but a spiritual danger in the air right now. Messages have been delivered. Ideas have been put forth about how we can respond. Warnings have been given. If we are going to pray for things that we are not sure that we have anyway, then I don't think that the humble love of the people of Enoch is any less expedient than the steadfastness of Stephen. What will or won't happen to any of us individually or the church collectively is not a foregone conclusion right now. We can only abandon our expectations and open ourselves to the will of God, with Christ as our guide. And it can happen. If I can stand here and say that it can happen, then it can happen. I've seen it. It happened to me. I don't presume to instruct anyone. I can only relate as a witness. And that witness is true. And if it was available to me, then certainly it is available, not just to you here, but to anyone who seeks it and is willing to make something of it. Let us go forth from here today with a desire to rekindle that commitment and find out for ourselves what its demands are, so that we can live up to them and do the work. Others will join in, of that I'm sure. I'm already seeing that too. Let us desire to be wise and faithful servants in this day.
I think the most important thing that I've learned is that, as our brother has shared, he was ready to say yes when he was asked. making ourselves available is to the Lord's will and the Lord's call is really important in our lives. I thank you for sharing, Eric. I appreciate it much. We'll use for our closing hymn, hymn number 443, Israel, Israel, God is Calling. Brother Al will bring the benediction. 443. Father, we raise our voice to thee in praise and thanksgiving for your great mercies and tender graces that are bestowed upon us so abundantly. And Father, even as our brother Eric has shared some of his personal experiences and the understandings that he has received through those, may we take to heart that counsel that was given. For our ways are not your ways, our thoughts are not yours, your ways are higher than our ways and thoughts higher than ours, and has not yet entered into the hearts and minds of the people, the great things that you have laid up in store for them, if they will yield to you. Father, help us not to take our preconceived ideas and try to make them fit into your plan. But give us hearts that are willing to serve. And in so doing, Father, you will be able to use us in ways that we have not been able to be used before. Give us soft hearts, and willing minds to the building of thy kingdom here on this earth.
that that prayer that was prayed so long ago and given as an example unto us may come to fruition, even that your kingdom of heaven may be on earth, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.